You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is the official Caps Chirp podcast, proudly a part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Every team, everywhere. What's going on, Caps fans? It's me, the Hockey Troll, and I am here with that snack, Polly Cupcakes.
Hello. I'm excited to be here talking. We've got some hockey news that isn't the Stanley Cup. So that's exciting. While some of the news is depressing for Caps Nation, it's something to talk about nonetheless.
Absolutely, Caps Nation. We've got a great episode for you today. We're going to be talking about the Seattle Kraken. I don't know if you've ever heard of these guys, but they just made their picks. And, you know, if you're feeling some pain, we're here. We're right here with you. We'll also be talking about some trades that have happened over the last few days after free agency has opened across the league. Tune in on Thursday and we'll be talking about, you know, the Caps draft and the draft in general, along with, you know, what we think of it. But first I have to tell you about DraftKings Sportsbook. It's not only my favorite sportsbook, but also America's top-rated sportsbook. Speaking of America, our top athletes are over in Tokyo competing for the gold, and DraftKings has a medal-worthy offer just for my listeners, or our listeners, I should say.
Even better.
Place any pre-event wager of $1 to be eligible to cash $100 in free credits if America wins any medal this year. That's 100-1 odds on an American athlete to stand on the podium and receive gold, silver, or bronze this week. 100-1 odds on an offer like this doesn't come around often, so sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook now and get in on all the action. I love using DraftKings Sportsbook. It's easy to navigate, has plenty of instructions for new bettors, and nearly limitless ways to get in on all the action. My friends and family have been loving DraftKings Sportsbook, and I know you will too. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits if an American wins a medal. That's code THPN to turn $1 into $100 in free credits for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or PA only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, called 1-800-GAMBLER, or in Indiana, call 1-800-9-DEAL-WITH-IT. Again, that is DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code THPN and thank us later.
Thank us later.
Well, Polly, I think we should get right into it. You want to pop some tabs?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
Well, just to piggyback off of that, before we talk hockey.
Right.
If you're watching the video, you can see I have my Charlie Conaway Jr. Goodwill Games USA jersey on.
Classic.
Thanks, Scooter, for the birthday gift.
Shout out, goalie.
Yeah, buddy. Obviously, I'm wearing this because the Olympics are happening right now.
Yeah.
And I was thinking during that draft, or that DraftKings read, I wouldn't put money on USA basketball to win gold after how they played today. They got beat by France. They'll probably... It's actually their first Olympic loss, I think, since 2004.
Wow. I didn't know basketball was an Olympic game.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't think it was a real sport.
The Dream Team, you know? You never heard of that? But
all right. I had to throw shade. Whenever anybody, like, talks about basketball, I gotta talk shit.
Yeah. Well, so far, I've been watching... I watched some basketball. Handball. I love handball.
That's cool.
Some water polo, beach, and indoor volleyball.
Dude, love the volley. Love the volleyball. Yeah. You know, and not for perverted reasons on the beach volleyball side. But, I mean, I just find that one of the more exciting, like, sports to watch.
I've been watching men and women's of both sports, indoor mm-hmm. and outdoor. I think it was Team USA playing France. And this dude for France was rocketing spikes. It looked like he was throwing a football.
Dude, when does it end? It's like 3 weeks?
I think it's a 3 week. Yeah, it was like August 23rd or something.
Wow. I mean, I know that the Japanese are not pumped about it. And I know that some of them have
riots.
Been...
riots.
Yeah, rioting. Protesting. Not rioting, protesting. And the worst part is that that none of the athletes have a crowd.
Yeah, I was watching skateboarding, and there were actually some people there.
Yeah.
I don't know what allowed that.
Well, I think that's just, like, TV crew, because, you know, they have to, like, man that crazy camera that they have, and announcers, and, I mean, they have, and probably athletes' families, but... Speaking of skateboarding, how fucking nuts... I tweeted about it, like, skateboarding. I'm watching skateboarding, the Olympic sport. Imagine that. You know, shout out Scott Lewison, my buddy from the DMV area that we went to high school together. I remember him telling me crazy stories about when he would go to the downtown D.C. Freedom Plaza. You know, hopefully I'm not blowing them up, but now that's where he goes. But he used to go out there and skate, and, like, he'd have to run from the cops... literally every weekend, it seemed, or security or something. And it's just interesting to see, like, I wonder how many of these athletes got, you know, harassed by cops, and now, like, yo, my sport's an Olympic sport.
Yeah. All the old heads, you know, 30 and older.
Right.
Because the kids in skateboarding, they're kids. They look so young.
Oh, I know. They're like 23.
Kid from Tokyo, or a kid from Japan, I think he won the gold today.
No shit.
Yeah.
In, like, freestyle or something, or pipeline?
Well, they were grinding, so yeah, pipeline.
Okay.
They were going down, like, railings on steps.
In, like, a wide-open park?
Yeah.
That's probably freestyle.
Well, the entire event was just one grind.
One trick?
One grind.
So I guess they aren't even doing a pipeline. That's my bad. I figured that would kind of be something that they would do. That was, like, old X Games shit, if you're into TikTok. But
yeah, the Olympics is always definitely a less American version of every sport. Like, boxing, it's a perfect example.
Yeah.
Olympic boxing is so different
from
professional boxing.
Right, right. Interesting stuff, man. I mean, the world we're living in today is awesome, right? It's crazy stuff.
It is.
But I guess we should kind of get into actual hockey talk, because this is a hockey podcast, or so they tell me. Dude... The Kraken roster is overwhelming yet underwhelming. I mean, overwhelming for Caps fans. I told you, nightmare situation. We'll just start off with the goaltending, because I think that, you know, you got to build from the net out.
Yeah.
And I think that they took some really good picks here. They went for Vitek, which, you know, God damn it. Again, like I said...
Well, why wouldn't you? What he's done in that cap hit... honestly, I think they were going to take a Capitals goaltender no matter what. They're mm-hmm. both under $1 million. And the fact that Samsonov was an RFA may have deterred them a little bit.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, it was really a no-brainer to take Vitek.
But I had thought that I thought that the Caps had just made a defenseman just so appetizing to be snapped up. I thought they did a good job. Like, I thought that they protected the right people. I think they did. I mean, you know, like I said in the, on Thursday's episode, or you know, maybe it was last week's Monday's episode, that they did a good job of identifying a Jensen-like player in TVR, and you know, they're going to let Brendan Dillon go out there, and I mean, think he would have been a great addition to a fledgling team.
Yeah,
but I think it's clear that the Kraken did what I did in my shitty draft, and that was pick for picks, basically pick for longevity, because they knew they weren't going to be able to fleece people like Vegas was. Right. And I also called that. I thought that it'd be interesting to see what any sort of back channel deals, and not many have surfaced yet, but I think that they had a while to announce it. So I haven't heard of anything crazy with Seattle. And I thought that the Caps did a really good job of just, hey, take a defenseman.
Yeah. I think this is a situation where the Caps kind of had an embarrassment of riches.
Yeah.
Because no matter what we were going to do, we were going to lose a good goaltender at a good value. And as a team who could have used the cap space, it really sucks they didn't take someone who was like $2 million.
Right. Right.
Like Dillon.
Yeah, and I mean, he's at $4 million, right? Or Schultz.
Yeah.
You know,
those would have been good guys to lose.
Right. So I think that, you know, the Kraken are really, really looking for value for a cash strapped league. Yeah. Right now, because they literally hold so many decent players, good players, for the price that they're getting paid. And at, you know, or like a young player, and they're in all of their roster's super young. You know, I see like a handful of people like Giordano and maybe Yarncroc and Donskoy that maybe like are in opening night, but I think that, you know, free agency is going to see them on the market active, you know?
They have $30 million in cap space.
Dude, are they even at the ceiling? Really? Or at the floor? No, they have $50 million. They're not even...
64 was the floor?
Yeah, they're not even at the floor.
Yeah, they're definitely going to be making some big moves.
Oh, yeah. And that's, I think that's a wise decision. I really do. I mean, I think...
Yeah, they couldn't even roster all these guys anyway.
Right, exactly, right. So get value and try to, like, pump it up. Maybe take a run at, like, some true veterans or some, you know...
Jack Eichel.
Yeah, like Jack Eichel. You know, who knows? Who the hell knows? So I don't know. Take us through this, man. Like, what are we gonna go? Can we start with the goalies? Because I know they took Dreiger and Vitek, and then some other like goalie that I've never heard of, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at this list. I'm trying to figure out who it is.
Well, okay. So it seems if they were to field a team today, it'd be Vitek starting and Dreiger backing up, right? And
then, I'd say
like
so.
A two-headed monster.
Yeah. You know, and so, you know, we'll just go by division, because I'm looking at this graphic.
Because that's how our graphic is set up in the outline, yeah.
All right. We'll shout out Slapshot Sweethearts for the graphic. So I believe the first overall pick, because they went alphabetically, right? Or no, they didn't. Well, I don't know. I didn't watch the draft. Because of all of those leaks. We can get into that later.
Right.
That could be a segment on a podcast, really. But Tyler Pitlick from Arizona, I believe he was the first overall pick.
Oh, wow.
Spoiler alert, they have traded him to... Where did I move it to?
Calgary, in exchange for a fourth rounder in the 2022.
Yeah, so they... I scrolled right past it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've already made their first pick. And then they picked John Quenneville from Chicago. Is he related to Coach Q?
I don't know. I'd have to think so.
Yeah. Jonas Donskoy from the Avalanche. I think that's one of their best value picks. They're going to keep him, but he would also be a very good trade because... Yeah. I mean, he's got so much promise.
Dude, I can't see anybody making over... I mean, well, none of these guys are making over $4 million aside from, like, Giordano, maybe Gord, McCann, maybe. I mean, they have so much flexibility right now, right? I mean, nobody's getting paid anything, and they're basically going to try to pull a Vegas by bending all of the entirety of the NHL over and saying, like, you need relief. We need to get something good in return. So high draft pick or a NHL proven talent.
Yeah. So Giordano's at 6.75.
Right.
And then everyone else is below 6.
Yeah.
There's a couple in the 5s.
Okay.
So,
but only a couple.
Yeah.
Like Eberle, probably he's up there.
Yeah. I think Alexiak was one of them.
Okay.
No, he's at 4.6. But Eberle, Yanni Gord.
Right. So, well, okay, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Yeah. But Minnesota, okay, they took Soucy. Nashville, they took Yarncroc. St. Louis, they took Vince Dunn. And then Winnipeg, they got Appleton, a guy who I don't really know a lot about.
No. Jamie Alexiak from Dallas. I don't know if we said him.
Oh, yeah.
That's another good pick. I think he's someone that they are probably expecting to jump in and be one of their main guys.
Yeah, and you may remember Alexiak from getting, you know, fed knuckle sandwiches by Tom Wilson.
Yeah.
Well, when he was with the Penguins. The Pacific Division, though. Hayden Fleury, like that kid. Mark Giordano, Adam Larson. L.A. gave up Curtis McDermott. I think that's a guy who's young, with some promise. San Jose, Alexander True, and then Vancouver, Cole Lind. Again, I mean, those got to be for sale pieces.
Yeah. I mean, they have to be. I haven't heard of those guys.
Right. From the Atlantic, I figured they were going to take Lazan from Boston. Buffalo gave up Borgen, who's a pretty good prospect, I'm sure, or at least highly drafted because it's Buffalo. Detroit gave up Chalawoski. Florida, Dreger, as we've covered. Montreal gave up Cale Fleury.
Brother of Hayden.
Yeah, so lots of brothership going on.
Could this be the next version of the
Stahl brothers?
No. Who's in Vancouver?
Hughes.
Sedin.
Oh, the Sedins. Why, are they twins?
No, but they're brothers, and they're right across the border from Vancouver.
Fair enough. Ottawa gave up Joey Decord. Tampa Bay, Yanni Gord. I mean, that guy's a stud.
Yeah.
And Toronto, Jared McCann, another young, promising player. The Metro in Carolina, Morgan Geeky, who has had some pretty good seasons. I think that he's got a lot of potential. And Columbus gave up Bayreuther, no idea who that guy is. Nathan Bastian from New Jersey, Jordan Eberle, Colin Blackwell from New York, Twarinski from Philly, and Tanev from Pittsburgh. I mean, you know, fucking Pittsburgh gets away with so much shit, and here's another fucking case. I'm just here to grind an axe, honestly.
I don't know, man. I think Tanev is a very valuable piece.
I think that's a player that stays on that team.
Yeah.
I do.
You know, when I look at this list, you know, the guys who really stand out to me, Giordano, yeah, Donskoy,
mm-hmm,
Tanev, Yanni Gord, and Alexiak. I think those guys, if they're not moved, are going to be the ones who really come in and make an impact.
I'll add three more. McCann, Eberle, and Yarncroc. I think that they may be ones that stay too. But everybody else, up for sale. And I don't know what goalies, you know, what they're going to do with their goaltending situation. I think that they stay too. Finding a proven NHL goalie is tough. And they're taking a bit of a dice roll on Vitek and Dreger here.
Yeah, and I wonder if maybe they go after Henrik Lundqvist, if they go after Braden Holtby, you know, right, maybe bring in a veteran,
yeah,
to have that Fleury effect.
Right.
Especially, was that?
I said, who knows?
Yeah.
And but here's the thing. People, both of here, and here's what I think, why I think that Seattle took these two. Because VTech has been toiling away dominant in the AHL. Driger has somewhat come out of nowhere, but he's also an older goalie. Like, you know, when I say older, the like mid-20s. 25. Yeah, mid-20s.
Yeah.
Right? So it is very interesting to see, and I think that if anything, Seattle's probably pretty set on their 1 and 2 goaltending situation. Everybody else, though, I feel like is on the table.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only way they're moving the goalies is if they get a really nice offer.
Yeah, absolutely. But you look at them and say, like, okay, so we've talked about this on the podcast and why the Capitals have had so much success in their cap management, even paying, you know, the blockbuster deals to Ovechkin, you know, decent money to Backstrom, you know, Kuznetsov, Carlson. You know, we can name the fat contracts that have been handed out in the past couple years. What saves them cap, and I tout this all the time, is they keep their goaltending tandem under like $6
million. Yeah.
So, you know,
this year it was under 2.
Right, exactly. And if you think about it, it was going to be under 4 with Samsonov and Lundqvist at 1.5.
Yeah.
So,
and then Anderson, bringing him up, he was under $1 million, I think.
Right. So, you know, I think that that's a good, I mean, that's definitely one of the better strategies, I feel, in hockey, in the NHL especially, is that you can't pay your goalies too much. It's a gamble because they're fickle and to get, you know, there's only like a handful of goalies in the league that will give you Vezina performances night in, night out every year.
Yeah, I mean, I think a dominant, consistent goalie is invaluable, but it's so hard to find.
Right, exactly. So, you know, let's just dive into the whole VTech thing and just for the Caps fans out there, you know, let's just pour one out for our boy VTech here. I'm just going to drink, but
yeah, I'll drink.
I mean, God damn it. You protected VTech in your mock draft, and I put a poll out there and I was like, well, if they expose Samsonov, does he still get taken? And part of me says no. Because of the drama.
Yeah, there's there's drama. He's an RFA. I think VTech is locked in a little longer.
Yeah.
I think it was safer, or they were less likely to take Samsonov for sure.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
But they still probably end up taking him.
They may have, but I think they would have
maybe hesitated, yeah. given the check both ways on that one,
yeah,
crossing the street.
I think the only thing in my mind that leaves me to believe that they were going to take the one we didn't protect, no matter what, is because they're both under $1 million.
Right, and good.
Yeah.
I just that was a gut shot. I was pretty upset when I heard the leak. And I guess we can talk about that now. Dude, why did the NHL... Why did they let... Who's it? Friedman?
He had most of them, yeah.
I would love to see the numbers on who actually tuned into that draft. I mean, I did because we were doing the live, but... On the Hockey Podcast Network, by the way. But, I don't...
Whose Twitter feed can they find that on?
Was it the Hockey Podcast Neil? Network. Yeah, at HockeyPodNet.
Yeah, so it'd be on YouTube.
Yeah, and YouTube. But I, like I said, it's a gamble, I think, still, for these two goalies for the Kraken. You'd much rather, I mean, with Vegas, they got a starting goalie who had a decade under his belt and success, right?
True.
With the Kraken, they have no fucking idea. I mean, these two could be busts. They are older. And they have been toiling away in the minor leagues and kind of been like the ace in the hole for a lot of these teams, like this kind of like shielded, protected guy that nobody knew about. But they both had, Dreiger and Vanacek both had a really good seasons last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you really want to bet a franchise on it? I guess they do. And, I mean, knowing VTech on our end, I would have as well, but...
I'd have more faith building on VTech.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. Yeah. He played more games. I mean, he carried the Caps.
He did.
So
I mean, yeah, Ovechkin had a rough year. Mm-hmm. Kuznetsov had a rough year. I mean, right. Really the only players who were consistent or above their station or their normal averages were Oshie and Backstrom. I mean, some of the bottom six, I think... had better seasons than in the past, but...
Not pick-worthy.
Right. The studs, Ovechkin, Carlson, Kuzi, those guys had a rough season, and VTech was there to hold the team together through it all.
Yeah, and I could see the Kraken passing on Schultz because he was a Band-Aid and has been, and then, you know, he's a little older. I mean, it's a super interesting strategy because the Seattle Kraken are ready to make deals. They have to be the number one seller in all of it. And I, you know, in the Vegas draft, it was like, we'll give you this to not take it,
yeah.
But take this person. But now it might be like, hey, this another team, you know, we have them already. What are you going to give us to get them back? Or what are you going to give us? What other team is going to give us something?
Yeah.
They could have a power... I mean, imagine if they land like Eichel.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think they're going to target teams like... So you've got Buffalo, mm-hmm. who has a star with a big contract who wants out.
Right.
And then you've got like Washington, who's got cap trouble.
Right.
So I think they're going to target those types of teams. I wouldn't be surprised if Eichel goes to Seattle... And if maybe Kuznetsov goes to Seattle in a trade.
Could be. I would just hope that McClellan gets a couple young assets back. The thing is that the Capitals are in a situation where they don't have... They're in win-now mode. They have no flexibility, yeah. Really. So if your center doesn't score 70 points... We don't even want to talk to him. I mean, maybe like a... You know who would fit in? You know who would fit in really well with the cap system, I think, is Yanni Gourde.
Yeah, but how much money would we really save? A couple mil?
Well, you know...
He's in the fives.
Yeah, but that's less than Kuznetsov.
Yeah.
And could slot in.
True.
Could slot in. And if he shits the bed, Lars Eller could play second line center.
What do you think? Kuznetsov and a first round pick for Yanni Gourde?
What? No, there's no way Kuznetsov would net that. I would say like a late rounder. No, it might even just be one for one. Gourde is a center, correct?
I think so, but I think Seattle would prey on the fact that the Caps need to move cap space.
Right. But, yeah.
Well, he plays all three positions.
Yanni right. Gourde. I bet he could play... I bet Yanni Gourde could play center for the Caps.
Oh, yeah.
I and maybe even second line. You would get a different player, but he'd be more defensively responsible, I feel.
Having the ability to interchange Eller and Gourde, that'd be nice.
It would leave a lot of options open, and Gourde is, from what I know about him, pretty durable.
Yeah.
So, interesting stuff. Who knows? Who knows what happens? I do know that the signs are on the wall here that the Capitals have not moved Kuznetsov because the asking price is somewhat high. It's got to be.
Yeah.
I mean, or we would have had a deal already. You know? Yeah. So, we'll see how free agency, how this shit show fucking unfolds. But, Let's move on. Sorry, VTech. We will miss you for sure, 100%. What do you got here? What's next on league news? We'll move. We'll move into the like the broader league outside of the Seattle Kraken draft.
So last Monday, Luke Prokop.
Prokop.
He made history. He is the first professional hockey player under contract to come out as gay.
Interesting.
This is coming off of a recent first NFL player, Carl Nassib.
Right.
So, you know, maybe that had a positive impact on him. But, you know, it's good to see that he's comfortable, you know, in this, you know, maybe 10 years into hockey is for everyone.
Right.
You know, it's good that he's comfortable coming out and telling people who he is.
Who's he play for?
So he's under contract with the Predators. HockeyDB has him in the WHL the last 4 years for the Calgary Hitmen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's got 41 points in that time. So he's, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he'll at least end up in the AHL.
Right. Oh, yeah. You would think. All right, well, good for him, man. Good stuff. Cale Makar signed a six-year, $54 million contract. That's 11% of the cap.
It's crazy when you put it in that perspective, right?
Yeah.
20 guys on the roster. You have to be able to insert the subs when someone's hurt. This guy, you know, when, you know, say, or you have to account for the scratches come into the game and stuff. So
right.
The fact that one guy is 11% of the cap, it really makes me question some of these guys asking for the money they ask for. And you think about if you're a guy on the team, like obviously Cale Makar deserves this kind of money. I'm not saying
$9 million a year.
Yeah. I'm not saying he doesn't.
Okay.
But think about you're this guy's teammate and he doesn't have an equal on the Avalanche.
Right.
But in a year or two, say you have a Cale Makar season and you're making 1.5. And you may not hold a grudge towards him.
Right.
But then it just snowballs, and that's why we get into all these issues of guys asking for more money because they see what other guys are making. They have similar success. And then, you know, the wheel just keeps turning.
To your point, Landeskog, their captain, is still not signed.
Yeah, it looks like he's won 8 or 9, okay, which is fair for what he's done.
Right.
But their roster is so stacked. I think they just signed Rantanen, and he's making big money.
Right.
McKinnon's going to be up for a new contract soon.
And, well, here's the thing about Landeskog, though, is that I heard that the hang-up is term. It's not the money. Because I think that Landeskog's easily worth 8. The dude's a Kuznetsov. I mean, numbers wise, he's pretty comparable to Kuznetsov, and unlike Kuznetsov, he's the captain and will drop the gloves and beat somebody's face in, or at least give a good go at it. You know, good dirty Swede. You gotta love it.
Yeah, I think I said on one podcast that I think Tom Wilson is the most valuable guy in the league, and Landeskog was 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Because of his well-rounded game.
Right, and I would agree with that. I think that, you know, the big thing is that Sakic, the madman, doesn't want, and from, you know, what Teledavs is podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network, talking to him, they want, the big thing is that he wants term. He wants $8 million. And, yeah, you know, you're going to get 4 or 5 of those years at best, or his prime. But, you know, when he's, like, in his early 30s, what's going to happen? Can he keep up?
Yeah, so you got Rantanen, 9.25 for 4 more years.
Right.
McKinnon, 6.3 for 2 more years.
Right.
He's still going to pull a $9 million contract.
Skating on his ass.
2 years from now. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. McKinnon? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's a tough situation. You know, the Avalanche left him exposed in the draft, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
Yeah. So, I think things have really deteriorated there in Colorado. I don't know, but I mean, you have to think, like, Landeskog has to be able to, you know, he's got to be that guy. I mean, he's a piece. He's a valuable piece of that team. Who are you going to plug that hole with?
I don't know.
A 70 or 80 point, I mean, you know, possibly 80 point person. Who are you going to plug that hole with?
It'd be tough.
On free agency. You know, you're paying premiums there.
Yeah, I don't really have many guys that come to mind, especially that are available, that could plug that hole.
Right, right. Well, Mark Stahl, 34 years old, agreed to a one-year contract to remain with the Detroit Red Wings on Sunday. Financial terms are not disclosed. I'm guessing that's probably a pretty low cap hit.
Yeah.
Good for Mark Stahl. Had a good career. Keeping it going. Zach Hyman will not...
It's crazy he's only 34.
You think?
It feels like he's been here for forever.
That's true. He's, you know, it was the Stahl Ovechkin New York Islander or New York Rangers playoff matchups were epic.
I'm 29 years old.
Right.
And I remember this guy playing when I was in high school.
Right. Oh,
that's a long fucking time.
Speaking of 29, you just turned 29. Happy birthday, Paulie.
Thank you, Hockey Troll.
I got you nothing.
That's okay.
Yeah. You're 29 years old. Grow the fuck up.
Yeah.
Zach Hyman will not be re-signed by Toronto as per their GM. Interesting. I mean, is that Dubas still? Jesus Christ. What is Toronto doing?
That's a good question.
They just... Okay, apparently that's the guy, Zach Hyman. That's the guy that they're not going to bring back because he's not doing what they want or whatever. So there it is. Yannick Weber retired Tuesday. 499 games, 13 seasons with Montreal, Vancouver, Nashville, and Pittsburgh. Good career, I'd say.
Yeah, and you know, it's always weird when you've got people with the same last names on the same team. And I saw Weber Nashville retires. I was like, what? He hasn't been there for years.
Right, right.
And I think I may have accidentally put this into the wrong part of the outline. Shea Weber is not playing this year.
He's not. He's come out and decided that?
Due to multiple injuries. And their GM was saying he may not return at all.
You know, that was conjecture from the moment that the season ended and even before is, you know, what's Weber got left in the tank. I think he played his heart out. I think that, you know, he's been an incredible leader for Montreal. You know, I think that he really just, like, hit stride going into Montreal. You know, that the PK for Weber straight-up trade happened, and he came in and became an absolute leader on that team. He has the C, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, in Montreal. And, you know, I mean, we've talked with Carl Alsner, and he was like, dude, yeah, Weber, when we first went over, and this was the kind of a side conversation because we were talking about how Carl's like vegan now. But he's like, yeah, I mean, we went to his house. He had like a big you know, team gathering and invited everybody's family and everything and had like a huge cookout. And it was just like tons of meat, which was tons of ribs and stuff.
They were new vegans at this time, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah. And Carl was like, holy shit. And he said he looked at his wife and said, like, what the fuck are we going to do? What are we doing? What, do we leave? Like, do we just, you know.
You know, side note, apparently jackfruit tastes like bacon. And that is something that helps people transition to vegan lifestyle.
So note, do not eat jackfruit. Or get sucked into the veganism.
I can't get past the thought of, like, something tasting like bacon that isn't bacon. That'd be weird, right?
Dude, there's so many, like, products out there that aren't really bacon that taste like bacon, though.
I know that, but, like...
You mean something natural.
Yeah. Like, at least, on those meat sticks and stuff, like...
Right.
You at least feel like it's meat. Or, like, bacon-flavored chips, I guess, but... Yeah, the fact that a fruit tastes like bacon, like, why did nature do this?
we got to hit up Carl and ask him and say, like, you ever had jackfruit, dude?
Yeah.
And then grill him more on his veganism. You know, I think it has been on my mind, like, man, should I change my diet? I know you're a big diet guy.
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've tried to change my lifestyle, but I don't.
I think you kind of got to really want to. But,
well, hey, on my birthday. You know,
hey, Carl Osner played NHL seasons with as a vegan.
Yeah,
that's this doable. Was something that he did in D.C.
Yeah.
So.
When I went to the doctor on my birthday, and.
Jesus Christ. He looked You're just a glutton for punishment, dude.
He was looking at my blood work. I thought there were a few things that could be a problem, and he said not really.
Hmm.
And what he said was, it was just, like, cholesterol.
Okay.
And he was like, yeah, you make a few changes, these will be fine, I'm not worried about it. He said, you know, when you're eating meat, just take the less fatty option. Instead of 80-20, do 93-7, stuff like that.
Interesting.
I was like, okay, yeah, that'll help my bad cholesterol. What do I do after the doctor? I ate the burger that Liz picked me up for lunch. Eating this big, greasy burger after he tells me to quit eating meat.
Nice.
Well, fatty meat.
Right. Yeah. All right. Let's breeze through these trades. We're looking at on the 24th, so literally like as things open up, the Florida Panthers acquire.
Well, we've got some pre.
Oh, I'm freeze. Sorry. Yeah.
We'll go to the bottom.
Yeah, my bad. You have this all... Oh, wait. I'm sorry. It wasn't as things open up. But Vancouver acquires for Jason Dixon from the Stars in exchange for a third rounder in the 2021. San Jose gets a goaltender, Adden Hill, from the Yotes in exchange for another goalie, Josef Kroner, and a second-round pick in the 2022 draft. Interesting. That's interesting. The Sharks have needed a goalie.
They have.
That perks the ears up.
It does. You know, maybe they're gonna buy out Jones.
Or let
him walk. I don't know. What it is.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. The Leafs get Jared McCann from Pittsburgh in exchange for Philip Hollander and a 7th round pick. And then McCann gets picked up by, so that's a bit of a back channel deal, you would say.
It was a little 3D chess coming from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, fuck you, Pittsburgh. I hope it blows up in your face.
But then also Toronto, you know, I don't know anything about this Philip Hollander guy, but basically they didn't give away any important piece.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Watch Hollander come in and start like scoring like 50 goals or something.
Yeah, he'll be the next like fucking. I don't even. I'm trying to think like Teddy Bluger or something.
Bluger, yeah. The Rangers get Barclay Goodrow from Tampa Bay in exchange for a 7th round pick in the 2022 draft. The Rangers are just edging closer to the win now. Like, they're ready to push. I think they're going to win. They're gonna make the playoffs next year.
Oh, I completely agree.
The Knights acquire forward Brett Howden from the Rangers in exchange for defenseman Nick DeSimone and a 4th round pick in the 2022 draft. I mean, you know, the Rangers are just getting it, man. Philadelphia gets Ryan Ellis in exchange for Philip Myers and Nolan Patrick.
Which didn't last long.
Right. We'll get to that. Vegas Knights acquire Nolan Patrick from the Preds in exchange for Cody Glass.
As a former Penguin, right?
Yeah.
Cody Glass. Ryan Ellis. There was a headline. I didn't click on the article, but it said Ryan Ellis recovering from the shock of being traded.
Yeah. I think we'll get into this later, but, you know, the Flyers gave up Ghost. I mean, the Flyers are retooling hard. I think that they've kind of woken up and said, like, this is bullshit. Like, we should be better.
I think they're retooling, and I think Nashville is giving off rebuilding vibes.
Yeah, hard. Yeah, I would agree. The Yotes acquire Andrew Ladd, a second-round pick in the 2021 draft, and a conditional second-round pick in the 2022 draft, and a conditional third-round pick in the 2023 draft from the Islanders. So,
yeah, I don't even know what they're getting in exchange for that.
Really?
Yeah.
What was that trade? All right, well, weird.
I may not have copied the entire paragraph.
Nice job, Polly.
Thanks.
Anyways, Detroit Red Wings acquire goalie. Now, this is big, I think, for the Wings. They get Nedlevic from the Canes in exchange for Bernier. And a third-round pick in the 21 draft. So that is a huge improvement for the Wings.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Right now. Interesting to see that Carolina thinks they have a glut of goaltending.
They must really have faith in Mrazek.
I like Mrazek a lot.
Yeah.
And I always have. He just has never been able to put it all together for longevity, like a whole season in playoffs.
When I think Bernier, it's a very capable backup.
No doubt. But for the third, like, that sweetened the deal? Interesting. The Yotes get Shane Gostisbehere, a second-round pick, and a seventh from the Flyers in exchange for future considerations. What the fuck? I mean, so here's the crazy thing about the Flyers. Right, they give up a no-name in the Seattle draft, right? And they get Ellis. So this seems like just a get something for Ghost because he's had a couple of shit seasons.
Yeah.
Or at least in their eyes has had a couple of shit seasons. And just clear that space for Ellis.
Yeah, and I'm guessing Arizona was preparing to get rid of Ekman Larson, which we'll get to.
Right.
And that's why they got him.
The crazy webs that are woven in this, you know, are next level. Again, the Flyers are on the map here. They acquire Rasmus Ristolainen in exchange for defenseman Robert Hägg. And a 2021 first-round pick and a 2023 second-round pick. That's a hefty price to pay. I mean, the Flyers are just selling. They need a team now. They must feel something.
The Flyers are managing the way I used to play Madden. Like, just destroying and rebuilding the roster.
Yeah, and I mean, Rasmus Ristolainen, he's a defenseman, right?
Yeah.
Big guy, but, like, not that great of a defenseman in himself.
I mean, he's all right, I think.
Serviceable?
I think they're putting a little more value on him than he has.
I mean, they gave up Hägg, who's like a third pairing and a first and a second? Whew. I'm just so happy the Caps are not in the Philadelphia's position right now, dude.
Yeah.
The Blues acquire Pavel Buchnevich from the Rangers in exchange for Sammy Blais and a second-round pick. I think this is a move to get size and grit.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
They're coming for us.
I do, man. I think that last season, and, you know, Andy Hammond and James Whalen from the Broadway Boys podcast and the Hockey Podcast Network, they're always talking about, you know, like, well, yeah, I mean, this is why Panarin, I mean, you know, first of all, they led with Tom Wilson's a piece of shit. You know, I understand their butt hurt from that. Because not only did their organization get beat up by Tom Wilson, they also just took, like, several L's right after. But they didn't have anybody on the ice that could even handle Wilson.
No. He had one fight in that next game, and he just pummeled him.
Yeah, right. And not to say Sammy Blais is some sort of, like, you know, pugilist here, but at the same time, like, he's a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. The Canucks acquire defenseman Oliver Ekman-Larsson and forward Connor Garland. That's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
That's huge. From the Yotes in exchange for forwards, Louis Eriksson. Didn't even know he played in the NHL still. I mean, dude's got to be on his last leg. I mean, he's serviceable, don't get me wrong, but a veteran for sure, along with Cap's favorite. He's got my jerseys right here for him. Jay Beagle and Anton Rizal, and a first-round pick, 9th overall, in the 21 draft, a second-round pick in the 2022 draft, and a 7th-round pick in the 23 draft. The Canucks making moves. I think Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Connor Garland. Connor Garland's young.
Yeah, and he's good.
Really good. They may be looking to build a franchise around that kid. Well, this is like that type of move, right?
Him and then Quinn Hughes.
Right.
Pettersson. Peterson.
Yeah, Pettersson.
They got a lot of young talent.
Right. So, hey, they're positioned, and they were on the cusp this year. Who knows? The Columbus Blue Jackets acquire defenseman Jake Bean from Carolina in exchange for a second-round pick in the 21 draft, originally acquired from Chicago. So that's number 44 and part of the Seth Jones move.
Which is next.
Yeah, we're really burying the lead here, Pauly. We need to organize these better. Yeah. Jake Bean, from what I hear, is highly touted. So, good for him. Carolina has this glut of young talent anyways. They've been low-key developing really well. Interesting to see that they're just getting picks here. So, but we'll move on. The Blackhawks acquire Seth Jones, a first-round pick, number 32, originally from the Lightning, and a 6th-round pick in the 2022 NHL draft from the Jackets in exchange for Adam Boqvist and a first-round and second-round selection at the 21 in entry-level draft. NHL draft. It looks like they're trying to fill that gap that Duncan Keith has left.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because Seth Jones is not exactly... He's bigger. He's not exactly like a punishing defenseman.
Yeah. He's very offensive.
Yeah. And I think that they're kind of looking for that.
Yeah. You know, I wonder what it's got to feel like. Seth Jones was a possible first overall pick.
Right.
He dropped to like 3rd or 4th with Nashville.
Right.
I think the Avalanche passed him up. A couple other teams. And since then, he's been traded twice.
Right.
And it's not like he hasn't delivered. So I just wonder why he keeps getting moved.
Well, you know, the stats darlings are not high on him. And we talked to Jay Fresh in the past, and he said, oh, well, you know, Seth Jones isn't that good. But who knows? He's eye test very good.
Yeah.
Right? The LA Kings acquire Braden Burke, Tyler Steenberg from Arizona in exchange for defenseman Colton Holtz, and forward Bokojin Amama. I have no idea who those people are. So, yeah. Philadelphia, back on the map, acquired forward Cam Atkinson from the Blue Jackets in exchange for Jacob Voracek. That's big.
It's a very big trade.
Voracek's good, man, but I just think he's this wore out is welcome.
And he's highly paid.
Right, exactly. So this is like a money move along with getting Cam Atkinson. Cam's, from what I saw, I was pumped, wearing the gritty shirt. Big stuff. And then finally, Florida Panthers get Sam Reinhart from Buffalo in exchange for a 22 first-round pick and goaltender Devin Levy. So apparently they're loading up as well. I think that the Panthers probably think we just need like one or two missing pieces to get over the hump.
And they just bought out Keith Yandle.
Right, exactly. So they got a little bit of money to spend.
They got money to spend in a defensive spot that needs filled.
Right. Well, Caps fans, listen, I mean, this has been a long epi as of recent. We're going to cut it off here, but look forward to an insane offseason. I think that we just went over a bunch of big names moving in big ways. So who knows what's in store? It's definitely a shit show.
Yeah, so our next episode Thursday, we're going to talk about the Capitals. One thing before we call it, it's very possible. So free agency opens Wednesday. Mm-hmm. It is very possible that Ovechkin will be signed before Wednesday, and very much possible before our next episode drops.
And it looks like, what, 3 or 4 at $10 million?
That's initial reports.
I think that's team friendly. To be completely honest, it's $1 million over the cap that we have right now. We can make that move.
And he'll be turning 36, right?
Right.
So that carries him to 40.
Right.
I like it.
Me too.
But hopefully, check our Twitter. If we see it, we'll be talking about it.
Absolutely. Caps fans, in the meantime, have a great week. Tune in to our talk where we get a little bit more into the actual draft on the NHL draft for the Caps on Thursday. If you like the podcast, give us a rating, 5 stars.
5 stars only.
And until next time, take care. Hey, Caps fans. Thanks for tuning in to the official Caps Chirp podcast, repping the greatest team in the NHL. Follow me, the Hockey Troll, at Hockey Trolling on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
And follow me, Polly Cupcakes, at Cupcake Polly on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok.
And follow the show's handle, at Caps Chirp, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Special thanks to the Hockey Podcast Network, at HockeyPodNet on social, and thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. The Hockey Podcast Network. Every team, everywhere. Check them out, or we're not friends anymore.